Tonight's shiur for the week of Parshas Acharemos Kedoshim. We begin with a story of a ganav. He brought his various kelim for the job, and as he approached the courtyard of a certain villa, one of the neighbors happened to be looking out his window, even though it was late at night, and happened to take notice of the ganav. So, like a good neighbor, he calls the police. The police quickly make their way to the courtyard in question, and sure enough, they saw the ganav. And the ganav took note of the policeman and tried to run away. Police ran after him and put him into custody. So what's the question? The question is as follows. The ganav, in his thrift and trying to get away quickly, he just dropped all his kelim and he ran. So now the owner of the home, he found in his yard all these rather expensive equipment, like special saws, electric saws, and special clippers, and very, very high quality. So the question was, does he have a mitzvah of a Shabbos Aveda to return these kelim to the ganav? That was the question that he asked. What is the answer? Well, to give the ganav himself these kelim, return them to him, is improper. One should not do so, because you're helping him, continue in his crimes. So one is not allowed to return the various tools that a ganav uses for his jobs. However, it's brought down in Shilas and Shuvas Hilchas Ketanos that one could and must return it to his Yorshim. One day when the ganav dies, so then his children, if they're proper outstanding citizens, so you give it to them. However, that's only, they say, if you found these kelim in the ganav's home. However, in this case, when they're just, you've found them outside, so it could be that these kelim are bichlal stolen. Maybe they only belong to the ganav. Maybe he stole these kelim. Therefore, you don't just return them to the yorshim, his children, but rather he should announce, like any Shabbos Aveda, that to find out who are the real owners of these kelim. Now, if he finds them, good, you should return it to them. And if the ganav himself, though, is chozer b'tshuva, so then you can ask him, are they yours or are they not? If he tells us that, no, they're really not, I stole them, so you give them back to who he stole them from. And if the ganav says that, former ganav, after he does tshuva, says that they're in fact his, so then return it to him. That was the final psak. Next, here's a story of a goy. And he saw that his neighbor, who was a Jew, had this thing on his doorpost. So he approached him one day, and he says, what's this thing hanging there on your door, on doorpost? So he said, well, something we Jews put there, it's called a mezuzah, and it's for protection. It protects our home. Okay, so he told the goy. So goy was very interested. He said, I'd also like to have my house protected. So he asked around, where do these Jews buy these mezuzahs? And they told him it's a certain sofer. So he went to the sofer and purchased a mezuzah. Now, right here, that itself is a problem, because the Shulchan Aruch says, the Raman and Yuradeus in Reish Tzadik Aleph Sif Beis, says Nachri Shabikesh Sheitnu Lo Mezuzah Verotel Ligboa BePitcho Asur Litno Lo. If a goy wants to buy a mezuzah to hang up, it's asur to give him, to sell him a mezuzah. So whoever the sofer was that sold him his mezuzah, that was a big no-no right there. Okay. So, but he had the mezuzah, hung it up. One day, he noticed that he's having certain tzaras in his home, this goy. And again, he discussed it with his neighbors, Jews. He says, you know, this bad thing's happening. What should I do? You Jews are the smart ones. So, Jew says, well, I don't know. What we do when these things happen is we check our mezuzahs. So he goes, oh, yeah? He says, hey, I have one of those. So, he says, took it down his mezuzah. And he went to some sofer, not the one he bought it from, but he brought it to some sofer. And he says, can you check my mezuzah? Now, the sofer looked at him. This guy doesn't look Jewish. She says, tell me something. Are you by any chance a convert, Geret Tzedek? So the guy says, no. He says, you're Gentile? He goes, yeah. So what does that have to do with anything? Can you please check my mezuzah? So the sofer says, I'll tell you, I can't really check it right now, but come back tomorrow and I'll return it to you. So he says, okay. So he left it with him for the day. In the meantime, the sofer's thinking what to do. Because to return the mezuzah to him, he can't do it. You're not supposed to give him as good mezuzah, kosher mezuzah to a goy. So what did he do? Sofer decided, he took out the mezuzah that was in there, and instead he just put in a piece of paper, he wrote some things on it, whatever, rolled it up, and he stuck it in the mezuzah, and so next day the goy comes, says, okay, do you have my mezuzah? He goes, yeah, everything's okay, don't worry about it, it's fine, and you know what, I'm not even going to charge you. So he gives him the mezuzah with his piece of paper in it, and so Sofer mentioned it, what had happened that day to his wife, and his wife says, how can you do that? He said, what? He says, you stole his mezuzah. He says, yeah, but he's a goy, I couldn't give it to him, I'm not allowed to give a goy mezuzah, what do you want? Anyways, the sofer came with the shaila, did he act correctly, or did he not act correctly in taking the mezuzah out and putting in a piece of paper? The answer is, he definitely acted incorrectly. Why? First of all, he was over on the Isser of Gnevas of a Goy, and according to many, many poskim, it's mamash an Isur Torah. It's an Isur Torah to steal from a Goy, and he stole the Goy's mezuzah. And not only that, in fact, the Tosefta says in Baba Kama, Perek Yud, says a gozel at a goy chayav lagzir lagoy v'chamur gezel a goy migezel Yisrael mipnei chilul Hashem. That not only is stealing from a goy an iser, but it's even worse in a certain respect than stealing from a Jew. You steal from your fellow Jew, that's bad enough. You stole. But stealing from a goy, besides the iser of stealing, you also have the chilul Hashem, as it's called. When a goy finds out that you stole from him, it's a big chilul Hashem. And can you imagine this goy? Let's say one day is going to take his mezuzah and first to somebody else to check again, and that person's going to open it up and say, well, "You don't have a mezuzah. You just have a piece of paper." He's going to realize that this other sofer stole his mezuzah. Can you imagine? Terrible, terrible chilul Hashem. So therefore, what the sofer had done was totally incorrect. Aser, in fact. Okay, so what should he have done? That's the question now. Well, what do you do in such a situation? So the Yetzer was given us as follows. He should, in fact, yes, remove the kosher mezuzah, you could put in a piece of paper with some words on it, fine. However, he should have notified the goy. In other words, he should have said to the goy, listen, I took out the mezuzah, and it's not for you. This mezuzah is for the parchment, that's for a Jew. And I'll tell you what, I'll pay you for it full value. And that's what he should do. If he paid, let's say $50, so he should pay him $50. Here's $50 for the mezuzah I'm giving, you know, that you paid for, and I'd like to buy it from you. And I wrote some things, and for you, it's better. Well, the piece of paper that I wrote things on, this is for you, a good mezuzah. And the mezuzah that I bought from you is not for you, it's for Jews. That's how you should explain to him, which is true. It's not for him, a kosher mezuzah. That would have been the proper thing. Therefore, you're not stealing, you're paying for the mezuzah, and you're explaining to him the real story. You're not charging him anything, you're just, you know, buying his mezuzah. And that is the proper conduct in such a situation. Next, speaking of Geneva, we move on to the next Shiloh. There was once a Yid who was Chozer B'tshuva, and he related what he had done in his past. For many years, he owned a factory, a rather large factory, and it was in an area which was inhabited. It wasn't an area of like an industrial area, but rather it was where people live, homes. And next to the factory, in fact, was a house. And there were very small streets that these, you know, big trucks had to come load and unload from the factory, and they had to go through these tiny little streets to get there. And then when they finally arrived at the factory, so there was a loading dock, loading dock, and the trucks had to back in. So he relates, the owner of the factory relates, that, you know, the truck would, you know, back in. And it was a very, very, very small area, you know, few, you know, inches on each side of the truck, you know, you had to just make it perfect in between, you know. So it happened quite often that the truck, as it's backing up, it, you know, accidentally scrapes the adjacent wall that's just to the, you know, a house next to the factory. Well, the first time it happened, the wall fell down. The truck driver was a little bit surprised because he was going very, very slowly, and he just like scraped it lightly. But all of a sudden, the whole wall fell down. Okay, so he wanted to approach the Baal HaBayis, but people in the area came out screaming, said, "Oh, you're in big trouble now, because this Baal HaBayis that you knocked his wall, oh, he's a mean guy, and you're in big trouble." Sure enough, the Baal HaBayis comes out ranting and raving, "You knocked down my wall, and you're going to have to pay for it." And his wife comes out screaming, "Oh, and the earthquake caused by the tumbling of the wall, it also broke things in our home." And so the truck driver felt terrible. So he says, "Okay, you know, I'll pay you for your wall, whatever damages." Anyway, so they would come to they came to an agreement of 8,000 shekels. Okay, you know, whatever happens. So, next, a few days later, you know, the wall goes back up again. Another truck backs in, touches the wall, again it falls down. Same scenario. The Baal HaBayis comes out screaming, his wife screaming, "You have to pay me for it." It's very, very strange. So the owner of this factory is relating the story. He noticed that the Baal HaBayis, when he was, you know, fixed the wall, he didn't use cement. He was just like putting the bricks like one on top of the other, and they put a covering over or whatever, light covering, and they weren't even cemented, meaning that's why every little touch of the wall would make it come tumbling down. So he realized that this neighbor was a crook. he dafka set up a wall, that knowing that inevitably these trucks are going to touch it, and since it wasn't, you know, cemented in, they fell down. He pretended it was a solid wall and asked for a lot of payment, thousands of shekels. The truck drivers didn't know any different, and they would have to pay it. So ended up being that this neighbor had a good business, quote unquote, good business going, and just piled up the bricks again. Next truck, boom, fell down, charged him thousands of shekels, and he was doing great. Anyways, the owner of the factory saw this, and he couldn't believe it. So he said that I decided that I'm gonna put a stop to this. And I'm going to move the loading dock, you know, of my factory to the other side, so away from this, you know, neighbor. So the neighbor saw him, you know, doing this, and he said, "Hey, what are you doing?" He says, "Well, what am I doing? What are you doing? I'm moving my loading dock, as I see what you're doing." So he said, okay, please, don't move it. He says, "I'll tell you what," he says, "How about I'll split with you? You know, all the income I make from this wall, if you just leave your loading dock here, I'll give you 20%. Anyways, he relates that he felt, you know, hey, you know, 20% adds up to be a lot of money, and his Yetzer Hara got the best of him, and he agreed. He left his loading dock where it was, and sure enough, truck after truck knocked down the wall. Thousands of shekels, 20% went to this factory owner. Anyways, eventually, like we said, he decided to do tshuva, and he, of course, moved the loading dock. That's number one. But now his question was, how much money does he have to pay? He knows pretty much who the drivers were, because, you know, they're pretty much the same drivers, so he could locate the people that the money was stolen from. But his question was, how much does he have to pay the drivers? Does he have to pay them the full amount of the wall that they paid, 8,000 shekels or whatever it was, or maybe only the 20%? Because he himself, the factory owner, you know, he only pocketed 20% of the earnings, quote unquote. But, so how much does he have to pay to these drivers? His 20% or perhaps more? That was his question. Now, it's a very, very interesting Tosfos in Maseches Shavuos, Daf Lamed Amud Beis, which says that if a person knows of an Isser that's about to take place, and he could prevent it, but he doesn't do so, then it's not called that he transgressed that he passively was over on Gezel, you know, watching Gezel happen, or some other Isser that he could have stopped. If he could have stopped and he doesn't, it is considered as if he did the Avera, Bekum Be'ase, as if he actively did the Avera himself. It's unbelievable, Tosfos. It's not considered a passive avera, which it seems it is. You're just watching the guy do the avera. But if you can stop him, and you don't, and you just, you know, play along, so as if you mamish actually did the avera. So therefore, it comes out over here that this factory owner, at least midine shemayim, would have to pay the full amount to these truck drivers of their loss, the full, let's say, 8,000 shekels, whatever it was, for knocking down the wall, they had to pay. Because this, it's not only that this factory owner, you know, he saw it happen, but he, even more, he had a chelik in it. He, you know, he split with this neighbor, with the wicked neighbor. So not only is he watching the avera being done, he's by not moving his loading dock, he's taking 20%, he has an active, passive part in this avera, so to speak. So Mela, midine shemayim, comes out, if he wants to do full tshuva, he has to pay actually the full amount of the loss to these truck drivers. Again, if they could go to the Balabais, and, you know, he should be really also paying, if not, you know, everything, some of it. But that was not not a shaila, because he didn't, he wasn't chozer b'tshuva, the neighbor. So the only way, the only person that's willing to pay any money is the factory driver who decided that he wanted to change his ways, and that's being the case, he has to pay the full amount. Next, still in the topic of Gezel, there's a Yid, he came crying to the Rav, and he said the following confession. He says, for years, I was a taxi driver. I don't do it anymore, but for years I was a taxi driver. And Rav, what can I say? I was mamasha ganav. I, first of all, there wasn't a day that I didn't steal from my customers. How so? If it wasn't that I started the meter before they got into the car, or I put up a higher rate of payment, you have to program the computer, whatever, I program for a higher rate than really should be. And not only that, I even fixed the meter, that it sends out false readings, false numbers, and then I was stealing on a constant basis. As an aside, Zilberstein says, he says, how could it be that you have a person, a Yid, and here he is standing in Yom Kippur at Ne'ilah, he's klapping al chait, he's crying to Hashem, please forgive me my averas, and here he is on Ne'ilah Yom Kippur, and at that very moment, he's over on an Isur Daraisa. How could that be? The answer is, the Ben Ish Chai says, that if a person has a false weight or measure, of course, it's asur to use it when selling, but not only that, it's an Isur Torah to have this false weight and measure in your possession, Bichlal, sitting in your house. So here's the answer to the riddle. There's a person in Shul, Yom Kippur, davening, crying to Hashem, forgive me for my averas, but same time, he's over in Issur D'oraisa, because he has in his home a false weight or measure. And therefore, this taxi driver, who has this meter that he had, programmed to give false readings, that's just like a false, weight and measure, and therefore, every minute, he's over on Issur D'oraisa, according to the Ben Ish Chai. Anyways, the taxi driver, former taxi driver, continues his story, and he says that now, he wants to do tshuva, but how am I supposed to return the gezel? I mean, in those years, how many people did I take? How many people did I steal from? Hundreds, thousands, who knows? How am I going to return this money to them? Who are they? Where are they? It's impossible. So what should I do? How can I be chozer b'tshuva? And a possible solution would be, but in this case that wasn't an option, and that is to charge people less now. Turn the meter to charge less, but that, again, is not an option. He's not a taxi driver anymore. So what should he do? So the Rav answered him and said, first things first, it says in the Shulchan Aruch, Choshem Yishbat Simen Shin Samech Vav Sif Beis, that somebody who steals from the Rabbim, Gezal to Rabbim, and he doesn't know to who to return it to, Yaseh Bamamon Sarchei Rabbim. Shulchan Aruch says to do. And Yerach HaShulchan explains that if you do Sarchei Rabbim, means you use your money to help the public in different areas, we'll see. And the hope is, let's say you make a park bench. You donate a park bench. And Hashem, who sees your heart, will have it that those people that you stole from will use that park bench and they'll get hana. And therefore, that's how you're paying them back. You took their money, but now you're giving them something. You're giving the pleasure of having a place to sit, the park, whatever. It's just an example. So He said, that's what you have to do. You have to do Tzarchei Rabim. Now, the Rav said, how much money did you make a cheshbon? Did you think that you stole from people over the years? So he says, yeah, I actually sat down and made a, obviously not exact cheshbon, but berach. Says, yeah, how much? So he says, no less than 50,000 shekels. He stole 50,000 shekels from people. So he asked the Rav, what, you know, park bench, like, meaning, you know, what can I do with 50,000 shekels? So the Rav thought for a minute. He goes, oh, I have a great idea. He says, the Shlach Kaddish brings down that one way of doing Tzarchei Rabim is by buying Sifrei Kodesh. Right? You know, Sfarim. And putting them in a public place, like a shul, a Beis Medrash, or whatever. And then when people use them, that's Tzarchei Rabim. They're getting hana from it. And that's how you maybe be able to pay back your gezel, because the people you stole from might use these Sfarim. Said the Rav, as a matter of fact, in our town, there is a shul who is in, actually, they're looking to make a nice Otzer Sfarim, a library of Sfarim. So why don't you speak to the Gabbai? See, maybe we can, you can. So he goes to the Gabbai and he says, I understand that you're looking to make a library here in the Beis Medrash. He goes, yeah, it is. That's true. So, well, how much do you think it would cost to, you know, make a beautiful, nice library, bookshelves, everything? How much do you think it would cost? So the Gabbai says, about 50,000 shekels. He goes, huh, how do you like that? Perfect. So he says, you got yourself a donor. He says, really? He goes, yeah. Sure enough, gives him 50,000 shekels, and the Gabbai gets to work and makes a beautiful, beautiful library for the Beis Medrash. Then what happens? So this former taxi driver then makes his way to see the library which he donated, and he couldn't believe his eyes. He almost fainted. Why? He approaches the Beis Midrash. He sees this huge sign, and it says, Bracha l'rosh mashbir, l'ish yakar ruach, nediv halev, generous person, muram miyam, asher nadva libo l'geshes ha'malacha, l'itrom mihonoi, wants to give from his wealth, this beautiful Otzar Sfarim, this library, etc. And, you know, with his name, etc. And he almost fainted. He's like, what? He runs over to the Gabbai and he says, you've got to take this sign down. You know, he didn't tell the Gabbai originally why he's donating this money. But he felt terrible with that. What, he's a big, wonderful donor. He was just doing this as a kapara for his genevis. With the sign, sounds like makes him look like this big tzaddik, you know. And so he says, take down the sign. So the Gabbai didn't know. He thought, you're just being humble. So he says, listen, it's okay, fine, it's good to have your name up here. He brought him the famous Shas and Shuvas of the Rashba, who says that it's Tafkan Inyan, that, you know, you're to write your name. This is, and this is donated, as we see in shuls all over the place, you know, this is donated by him. There's no minute. Why? Because it encourages other people to give. And so the Lashon, it's Liftoch Delis Lose Mitzvah, opens the door for people to do mitzvah. They see, wow, you know, this guy's name's on, so they want to also, give. So it causes other people, encourages them to give. So he's telling this taxi driver, no, it's fine, you know, it's good to have your name up. Anyways, he came back to the Rav and he said, Rav, what should I do? Should I insist to have the sign taken down or not? What do you say? The answer that he was given was that, no, he can leave the sign. Isn't it Sheker? Isn't it calling this guy a generous donor of these? I mean, one generous donor, he's a gunner, he's doing tshuva. So the Rav says, no, he says the truth is, the Lunos do fit here as well. The diva slave, yeah. He says not everybody would do what this former taxi driver did. How many people are willing to do tshuva kede kach, that they're willing to write on the spot, write out a check for 50,000 shekels to do tshuva? Not so simple. And most people wouldn't do such a thing. So this person really deserves to be praised. As usual, he prays for what he's doing, and to do tshuva shlema, and listen to what the Rav told him to do, and doing it with a full heart. That's nediva slave in and of itself. So Rav said, you have nothing to feel bad about. You are a nediv lev, and you can have the sign appear in full force. Let's finish off with one last shaila again of Gezel. But before, it was mentioned that the Rav Zilberstein said many times that when one would like to, if one has to do tzarchei rabim, you know, for Gezel, he says that a good place to give to is like a hospital. Why? Because unfortunately, you know, people need hospitals. And if you give money to the hospitals for medical equipment or for lending out medical equipment, which people need, unfortunately, all the time, you know, that's a wonderful tzarchei rabim. The Chafetz Chaim actually says in one of his Sfarim that a very good tzarchei rabim is actually to give money to have installed public bathrooms. He goes, it's something that people need, like in rest stops and in gas stations or whatever. Apparently, it happens to be a law that gas stations must have facilities. And they're not always in good shape. Sometimes they don't have them, not enough of them, whatever. And Chafetz Chaim says that that's a very good tzarchei rabim to put up bathrooms. Anyways, we said one last shaila, also about Gezel, which is the main topic tonight. It's a rather famous story. It's a kedai to hear again that there was a fellow from Chutz La'aretz, and he was manufacturing like sandwich bags, plastic bags, and he used to put out a package. Each package said on it contains 100 bags. Anyways. You know, he's thinking, like, how many people, you know, they buy, sandwich bags, a package, and how many people start taking out, start counting how many bags there? Nobody does. So he figured, it adds up. So he decided he's going to, instead of putting 100, you know, he's going to set the machine for 95. Because, like, who's going to count anyways? And then I have five bags here of every, you know, package, five less. You're making thousands and thousands of packages of these bags. It adds up. So he decided to set his machine to 95. And then time went on, and mitzvah gurus mitzvah, quote unquote. And he said, you know what, 95 might have set to 90. You know, people aren't going to. So he set his machine to 90. Anyways, at a certain point, he decided that he's going to do tshuva, that he can't go on like this, and he wants to do tshuva. So he approached Rav Chaim Kanievsky Shlita, and he asked him, well, what should I do? How can I do tshuva? I don't know who bought my bags. What? So Rav Chaim told him, here's what you should do. Instead of, your machine was, set on 90 bags, so now set your machine to 110 bags. Give an extra 10 back. And then you'll be doing tshuva, Instead of giving 10 less, now you're going to be giving 10 more. So he says, sounds good. And that's what he did. He set his machine to 110 bags. So, what's the end of the story? And the story is, somebody out there decided he's going to do a little check. He bought these sandwich bags. And he says, get a check, says 100 bags. Yeah, let me see if there's 100 bags in here. He starts taking them out, counting them. 1, 2, 3. And sure enough, it comes to 110. Not only is there 100, it's 110. He goes, wow. He said, I wonder if this was a fluke. So he buys another package of them, counts them, again 110. He takes a third just to be sure, and again 110. He says, wow, this company is actually putting 10 more bags than it even says. It's unbelievable. And in America, they love this, the media. So they started bringing the media into it. Before you know it, this yid ended up making a big Kiddush Hashem because it was brought out into the public that this person, not only does he put the right amount, which is self a Kiddush, but even puts more. And everybody saw, his picture of this yid, the kippah, so he made a very big Kiddush Hashem in his, as he was doing tshuva. And not only that, he says the end of the story is that not only did he make a Kiddush Hashem, but when, you know, people saw that, he puts in more bags than even says on the cover. So he got a lot of more business. People want to start to buy his product because he's giving more than everybody else. So all of a sudden he was loaded with orders. He couldn't even keep up with the orders, and his business was booming. Kulanu lachzor b'tshuva shleima, and be zoicha to see the gula shleima b'mehera v'yameinu.